This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Abiding power in the demon's hour. Roald Dahl tells a wonderful story about a man named Henry Sugar. Henry was a wealthy young man, wealthy independently. He had inherited some wealth, and so, like some who inherit wealth, he didn't have much direction in his life. He sought out enjoyment where he could find it, but all the enjoyment that he sought out left something to be desired. He was at a party one day perusing the library of the house of the folks that he was at, some other rich folks that also lacked some purpose. And in the library, he found an old handwritten manuscript. In that manuscript, he began to read, and he saw an amazing story, one about a man who could see without eyes. He would go into the villages where he was a part of the traveling circus. As the circus would come into town, he would go to the doctors. He would say, doctors, bandage my eyes so that I cannot see. Bandage them as best you can. And so the doctors would. And the man would get up after being bandaged, go out, ride his bike through heavy traffic in India, and perform at the circus that evening, seeing without eyes. The doctor who had written the manuscript was fascinated by this man who could see with no eyes, and so followed after him, sought after him, learned his story, and wrote it down in this manuscript. Henry Sugar was amazed. Here was a power. If I could just learn how to see with no eyes, I could be the wealthiest man in the world. It was a spiritual power, he learned. It required spiritual practices, and Henry Sugar threw himself into the yogic practices of this man who could see, this Indian man who could see with no eyes. And it took a while. It took a long while. It took a few years, but eventually Henry Sugar figured out how to do exactly that. See with no eyes. And that's when he put his plan to work. Where would you go if you could see with no eyes? If you could see without opening your eyes? If you could see behind layers of covering, where would you go? Henry Sugar went to the casino, to the blackjack table. Because he could see with no eyes, and therefore he could know what was in the other person's cards. He could see what was on the dealer's deck. And seeing what was coming up, he played and he won. And he won big. And he won big again the next night. And then the third night, he thought, maybe I should slow down a little bit. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to go to a different casino and win. And he did this. He bounced around to a number of casinos, raking in the money. He had an infinite supply of wealth now with his power. It was a great power. But there's no satisfaction in it, no thrill. There was a fun. I mean, this stuff was piling up. The cash was loading up his flat. And it was just money. One day he decided he was had enough of it, and he was just going to share it, because that's what you're supposed to do with money. That's how it makes you feel good. And so he opens his window, and he throws out just handfuls of cash out into the street. And it floats down and causes a riot on the streets below as cars stop and people come and fight over all of the money that's just falling from the skies. The cops come in to find out who's causing this disturbance, and in their conversation say to Henry Sugar, "You know, if you want to be generous, why don't you do something normal like open an orphanage or something?" And Henry thought, "Well, okay, maybe that's what I'll do." And that's what he did. He used his winnings to open orphanages in his town. And when the casinos began to catch on, he went in disguise, going to new casinos all around the world, opening an orphanage in every place that he went, spending his earnings not on himself, but somewhere more important. And in that, finally found satisfaction. The story of Henry Sugar comes to mind for me this morning because in our gospel reading, Jesus promises us not just the ability to see with no eyes, but the power to ask for whatever we wish. And what does Jesus say? Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now that is some amazing power. That is a promise. And it feels at first like a promise that Jesus can't keep. I mean, I want a lot of things and I don't have them. And if I ask, will I get them from God? What about all the other people who are asking? And yet, in this wording, in this offering, saying to us as his disciples, if you pray for this, if you ask God for this, if you ask God for anything through your prayer, it will be done for you, whatever you wish. Prayer is all about intentions, isn't it? When we ask in our prayers for what we wish, the intentions of our hearts are laid bare. We lay them bare before God, what really is driving us, what's really concerning us deeply. In this prayer, Jesus is inviting us to lay our intentions out before God and before ourselves, naming them. And in their intentionality, prayers indeed are powerful, as all human intention is powerful. And the power of human intention is indeed great beyond reckoning. As a human people, we wield an enormous amount of power in the world, all through our intentions. As a human people, and individually and collectively, we can do some amazing things with the power that God grants us, with the power that comes from God, for all power comes from God. All power and privilege is a gift from God to be used. But how do we use it? We're given this offer. How would you use it? What would you do with that power? Would you make missteps at first like Henry Sugar? Or would you go straight to the things that are really going to bring you satisfaction? We wield great power as a human people. power through our intentions, power to both build hospitals and wage war, power to care for orphans and also to arrest migrant children and lock them up in compounds for processing, power to cure diseases and also the power to reap billions of dollars in profit by selling the medicine that does it. We have the power to ride our bikes with no handlebars, the power to go to outer space, the power to detonate atom bombs. We have such great power as people, power that can indeed do anything if we set our intention to it and hold that intention with purity long enough. But it's in that power that the threat comes. In that power that God gives us and invites us to be co-creators of the world alongside God with, that's the hour when the demons show up. When the demons that want to take that God-given gift of power and intention and will and twist it, and thwart it, and misdirect it, the demons come and tell us, you can wield God's power, and you don't need the direction of God's will in the wielding of it. Wield this power for your own purposes. Wield this power to satisfy yourself. Hoard the money. Keep it. Stock it up. Wield it. When we lay our intentions bare, those things that we wish for, are they intentions that are holy, or are they misdirected? We have great power. We have great power to do a great many things. And while we come to these words and question if Jesus can truly uphold this promise, ask for whatever you wish, it will be done for you. We wonder if we can truly wield it. And yet, I would say to you that we already wield it. But what is it that we wish? In the world that we create, have we created what we've really been praying for? In those misdirected prayers, teased and twisted by the demons of our world. By demons like, I don't know if I'm worth enough. I need something to tell me that I'm worthy. Demons like envy. Demons like addiction or lust. Demons like I'm worried if I share this power that I won't have it anymore. That if somebody else gets power, that means I have less. These demons of worry and anxiety and stress, they build up in our lives, and that's when we are called to remind ourselves about the start of this sentence, about the start of this promise. Abide in me, and my words, let them abide in you. The true power, the power that will satisfy, the power that will truly grant what you wish at the heart of hearts, that satisfaction and enjoyment and freedom from suffering that all of us as human people wish for, it comes first from that place of abiding in God. Abide in me, Jesus says, and let my words abide in you. Abide in God. Abide in Christ. Let God's word that is Christ abide in you. And in this abiding, in this indwelling, be transformed through this time of prayer as Jesus was transformed and sought to teach us to be transformed. so that even on that night when he was praying, desperately praying, God, let this cup of suffering pass from me, yet thy will be done. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray for our kingdom, doesn't teach us to pray for our will, but through our prayers invites us to abide in God so that God abides in us, so that what we wish is actually what God is wishing. And so in our wishing, we become one with the will of God that is at work and active in the world. God's will be done in you, through you, for you. And if we pray in this way, if we truly set our intentions in this way, if we pray together collectively as one, God's will be done, God will see it done. For faithful people have done so much, building hospitals, caring for the poor and the hungry and the children who have no family, tending to the earth, caring for one another in deep community. This is the satisfaction that we wish for. So let it be our prayer. And let us trust that it indeed shall be done. Amen.